few weeks and really have been talking about the party. We've been talking about our house, our church, our capital H house, and the way that we want our house, how we want our house to be. Church is equal to the house. We want our church, we want our house to be a place that is lively, a place that is exciting. And this is a special day today because each of you are here, and we're excited about having each of you here today, and believe that today is going to be a great day in your life, a day that is going to be memorable in your life. I'm curious, anyone like to throw parties? Anyone? I see some hands. Yeah, you like to throw parties. You like having people around. Maybe you call them get-togethers or block parties, or just, hey, y'all stop by if you have time. We've always got sweet tea. We always, have coffee ready. Come on and let's have some fun. But have you ever gone to a party where you really didn't know anyone? It's always a little awkward. It's always a little weird, if you will, going to a party and not knowing anyone, or maybe the person you're supposed to meet there hasn't arrived yet, and then you're tasked with trying to introduce yourself and deciding about whether you're going to be completely honest or not, if you're ever going to see these people again or not, if I'm going to tell them my real name, or you just meet people in all kinds of circumstances, and usually when you're going to a party, what you need is a friend. You need a friend. You need a wingman. Anybody ever heard of a wingman? You have someone who's there to help you. You make up in your mind when you're going to the party, we're not going to leave one another's side. We're going to stay close to one another because we have to help one another through this experience. I got to make sure you survive this experience. You have to make sure I survive this experience, and we're not going to leave one another's side. Wingman always has responsibilities. They're responsible to introduce me to people I don't know. Seems like every house you go to has certain rules, maybe specific rules, and the wingman has to let me know. He has to let me know if I've been over there dipping broccoli in the ranch dressing, and I have broccoli all in my teeth. Amen. The wingman is a blessing to say, "Hey, look, you look silly right now. Get all of that cleaned out. I need a wingman in my life." If you were invited here today, if you're sitting somewhere close by your friend, then you have a good wingman who is looking out for you. If you just happen to stop in today, I promise you there are friends in your very near future, because there are people that are excited you're here today. You don't have to feel lonely. You don't have to feel by yourself. There are people that are very happy to have you today, and they are fast going to become your friends. But there's a story in the Bible today that is the ultimate wingman example. It's the ultimate party story where a friend helped another friend and made sure that they had what they need. And I just want to work through that for a few moments today. Mark chapter 2, beginning at verse number 1. The Bible said, when Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. So Jesus has been gone for a while. He comes back to Capernaum after a while, and the Bible said that the news got out. News started spreading quickly that he was back home. I'm reminded of that old song, "Start Spreading the News." You remember those old songs? Yeah, the news got out all around the village, all up and down the streets, everyone was saying, guess what? Jesus is back home. Jesus is where he belongs. In fact, the King James Version says that it was noised that he was in the house. It was noise. There were people that were making a great noise. There were people that were lifting up their voices. There were people that were getting loud, people that were getting excited. You know why? Because parties make noise. I've never been to a party that was a quiet game party. I've never accepted an invitation to a party that said, hey, be there at 2:00 and we're all just going to sit in silence and look at one another. We're just going to come sit in the living room and no one is going to say a word. If you invite me to that kind of party, I am not coming. Not coming, because that's weird. That's not a party. That's nothing exciting. No, there's noise at a party. That doesn't mean there has to be racket. That doesn't mean that it has to get on your nerves. I mean, you're sort of agreeing to that when you RSVP to a party. You know that at times it's going to be a little bit loud. You know that at times they're going to play music, and it may not be your exact style of music, but you kind of agree to the deal when you RSVP to the party that there is going to be some noise at the party. It was noise that he was in the house. See, nowadays, bad news travels fast and good news is rarely believed. But I have some good news that I want you to hear today. Have some good news that I want you to be aware of today. Can I tell you what it is? Jesus is back in this house. Don't read anything into that, and don't think I'm trying to say anything. Listen, I do this every week around here, constantly pushing, constantly reaching, constantly trying to say, hey, we can't forget. We have to be mindful of the presence of God. There is nothing more important. There is nothing that matters any more than the Spirit of the Lord. Here's our job as host of this party. We want to make sure that Jesus is the center of attention at the church at Covington. We want to make sure there is no one more important. We want to make sure there is nothing else in his way. We want to make sure that it is noised all throughout this county, all throughout this community, all throughout this city and the cities that surround us. We want to make sure that every single person in this community knows that Jesus is in this house. I'm not saying he's not in any other house. In fact, I prayed for every church I passed on the way to this service this morning. I pray that he's in every single church. I'm meeting pastors around town and blessing them and wishing them well, but I don't pastor their churches, and I'm not responsible for the party that's going on at their house. I'm responsible for the party that's happening here, and as for me and this house, we want to serve the Lord. I want to noise it throughout the county that Jesus is in this house. Jesus is in the house. Because this isn't our church where we occasionally allow Jesus to visit. This isn't our church where we occasionally allow Jesus to move the way that he wants to move. No. This is his house. And in this house, he rules, he reigns, and he is Lord here. And I want everyone to know. I want to get the word out, because every person needs to know, from county to county, from town to town, from Covington to Atlanta, Jesus is at home here. Jesus is alive here. Jesus rules and reigns here. Is anybody glad that Jesus is in this house? Hallelujah. And that's important because look what happens when others hear the noise. The Bible says in verse 2 that soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room, even outside the door. Because that's what happens when you get the right noise in a community. When you get the right noise happening and sounding and being heard in the community, people want to come and hear it. People want to come and see it for themselves. I've met people even today that are saying, you know what, we've been hearing about this church, or we've been wanting to see what was happening. What happened? They heard some noise. They heard someone talking. They heard the scuttle around town. And they said, you know what, I just want to come and see it for myself. And that's what happened. The Bible said that the house was completely packed with visitors. There was no more room, even outside the door, because they had the right noise. They had the right things going on in the house. Now hear me and let me be a good pastor today. This wasn't hate noise. This wasn't anger noise. This wasn't offended noise. This wasn't race noise. This is Jesus noise. Whatever you think the church ought to be, listen, the thing that ought to be louder than anything else is the noise of love. The noise of, you know what, I care about you. The noise of, hey, how can I help you? How can we serve you? How can we bless your family? How can we make a difference in your life? Because people want to be a part of something positive, and Jesus is the most positive experience that I've ever had in my life. Settled. I'm not looking for something more positive than Jesus. I'm not looking for something better than Jesus. I have found the best thing that is available anywhere, anytime, any place. The house was packed. You're meeting us while we still have a little bit of room. You're meeting us while we still have some open spots. You're meeting us while we're still preparing. But you better get ready, because all we're doing right now is getting our noise right. All we're doing right now is making sure that our worship is about Jesus and Jesus alone. All we're doing is making sure that our prayers are about making a difference and helping people, and to God be the glory for the things he has done. We're not trying to get our name out. We're not trying to boast this or that. This is about Jesus and Jesus alone. If you don't like Jesus, you are not going to like this church. I am grieved with what I have seen the church become and how messed up and off track the capital C church, the global church, has become. While the church is getting more worldly and the world is getting more churchy, it's all backwards. But listen, not here. We've got to make Jesus the Lord of our lives and the Lord of this house. We're just getting our noise right. We're just getting dialed in to the frequency. We're just getting tuned in. Sometimes when you're rolling across the radio stations and you're scanning, sometimes you catch a station that you think it's something you want to hear, but you can't quite get it to come. I'm going to preach about this soon, but you can't quite get it to come in clear. But when you finally get settled on the station that has the right amount of signal, man, all of a sudden the volume is up. Everything is dialed in. Everything is just right. That's what we're doing around the church at Covington. We're just getting dialed in to the right sound so that God can do what he wants to do in this house. Want the right noise. And then the Bible said that while he was preaching God's word to them, it's important because what's being said matters. Matters. What's being said from this desk matters. What's being said? I appreciate the honor that you give to me in the position that I hold here. I appreciate you believing what I say, but you know what? As long as I'm preaching the book, I don't mind you saying, I just got to go read. I got to go make sure that says what it says. Why? Because men can fail and men can fall, but the word of God, the Bible says, will stand forever. So the Bible said that he was preaching God's word to them. Because the reality is, I can't coach you into heaven. And I can't advise you out of hell. All I can do is preach the word of God. 1 Corinthians 1:21, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. So they said, we tried that. We tried vain philosophy. We tried man's wisdom. We tried to suggest that Jesus was just a way to God. Listen, that is false doctrine. That is incorrect. There is only one way to God, and that is through faith in Jesus Christ. So what is being said absolutely matters. But he said it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Can I preach like a fool today? Can you worship like a fool today? Can we just be at home with one another to say, you know what? I don't know. This is just what I believe, and I've got to say it the way that I believe it. Look at somebody and tell them, say, fool. I know the Bible says call no man a fool, but we're not actually doing that. We just preaching today. I don't know. Jeremiah said it was like fire shut up in his bones. And I know your friends are here and your family's here, and I'm trying to act right. I promise you I am. I could get over here in my First Baptist position and just stand behind the lectern and do real good. Some of our friends may come back for a second visit. But every now and then, I realize the lecture doesn't get through our hard heads. Sometimes the lecture doesn't get through all of the junk that we've heard all week long. He said he chose the foolishness of preaching. He chose a man who was willing to put himself aside and say, you know what? Let me be God's vessel. Let me do what the Lord wants me to do. Let me say what it is that Jesus wants me to say. I don't mind being a fool for Jesus if it means that someone is going to decide today is the day that salvation comes to you. If someone chooses today to say, I want to surrender my life to Jesus. I want to be baptized. I want to give my heart to the Lord. Because that's what matters most. And then verse 3 said that four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. Talking about wing wingman today. I need a wingman. Here's a paralyzed man who cannot get to where Jesus is. Get this picture. Four men want to go to the party. They need this, but their boy, their dude, their homie is struggling. Their man is in a bad way. He needs a wingman. So four men, I need some help today. Let me look out here and find the right kind of help. I need the right, can't just have any help. Joe, you coming to help me today? That's one. David, come here, two. Come here, Donnie, three. I don't know if I got the right help or not. Let me look here. Oh, my brother, you're our guest, aren't you? Just say, he a fool. Would you come help me preach just a minute? Will you come on, real quick. Y'all gonna understand in just a moment. See, I'm no dummy. What's your name, man?
Aaron.
This is Aaron, everybody. Say hello to Aaron. Y'all gonna thank me later because I got y'all some real. That's Aaron, that's Donnie, that's Joe, that's David. I said I wouldn't call out any of our guests, and well, that didn't go too good. I'm looking. Come here, Joel. Come here, Joel Treadwell. Leads our young adults. This is a great guy right here. Give him a hand. Come on. My man, come on. I need you to be paralyzed. I'm gonna need you to struggle a little bit. Come on. Paralyzed people are not on their feet. They're on their back. They're laying down. Laying down. Joel is paralyzed. I don't know what happened. I don't know what went wrong. I don't know how it all came about, but Joel is in a bad way. And all four of these men, they hear that Jesus is in the house. They hear there's something happening and they want to go. They want to be a part of it. They all have needs in their own right. They all have situations in their own life. But they see Joel. They see their buddy who is in a bad way. And they say, man, I mean, I this can't all be about me. I can't get to and pass up this man who is in trouble. So the Bible said that four men picked up the paralyzed man. I don't, y'all figure out how to do this. All right. Y'all got him? Hold him. Don't drop him. Dale, do we have any waivers on file? Can you bring me a waiver? Stay here, man. I got to go back. Let me preach for just a moment while y'all holding this is amazing to me because I'm wondering today, are there any other Joels in the house? Is there anybody, come on with me, is there anybody who has ever been carried? Anyone ever had enough hell in your life and enough crisis in your life and enough issue in your life and enough pain in your life that you needed some? I mean, I'm talking to people that didn't just come to church on their own. I'm talking about somebody had to say, you know what? You need Jesus in your life. I know I appreciate people that just kind of woke up on a Wednesday morning and said, you know what? Hey, y'all get that worked out. I need you to come on. Preaching don't ever stop. You got to come on. They back there trying to measure him. And y'all doing good. Thank you. Sometimes I need help. I've been on both sides of this equation. I've been the Aaron who's helping to carry. I've been the Joel who's needed to be carried. I've been the one who's in trouble. I've been the one who's in pain. Been the one who's addicted. Been the one with a marriage falling apart. Been the one sick in body. Been the one struggling. Been the one going through difficulty and challenge and issue in my... Guys, what are you doing? Come on. It's not easy to carry somebody sometime. Come on. Come on. I got the wrong. But there you go. There you go. Love will find a way. Woo! Hallelujah. Listen. All right, all right. Rest, rest, rest. Don't put him down. Because no. Don't put him down. Hold him. Hold him. Hold him. Man, I hope you'll come back one more time. I promise you. Hold on. We in a selfie generation. I got to do this right. Okay. Come on, Joe, smile. He that winneth souls is wise. Woo! I'm having fun today. Here's the question. What if our community learned how to carry one another? Or we're learning how to hate one another. We're learning how to be offended with one another. What if we learned how to carry one another? What if the deciding factor as to whether or not I was going to help you was just the fact that you need help? Not your skin color, not what side of the tracks you're from. Not who your parents were. I just want to help you. But let me hurry, because I know these men are tired. But listen to verse 4. It said they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd. So they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Talking about Jesus. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. You understand, there's no room at the door. So some way or another, they get this man on the roof. Because getting him into where Jesus... I'll compromise with you. This will be the roof. All right, put him right there. Put him right there. That's good. That's good. Set him down. Set him down. Set him down. Would you give him a hand? Dale. Tony, I don't know if we have any extra large t-shirts, but make sure my friend gets a t-shirt. None of these other guys, but make sure my friend gets a t-shirt. He probably wears a medium anyway. He don't even wear. Give him a hand one more time. They did good preaching today. I hear everyone else saying, I bet I'll never raise my hand again to volunteer for anything. I know you were watching them. Catch this. They couldn't get him to Jesus because of the crowd. So they dug a hole through the roof above his head. This is important. They couldn't get there because of the crowd. It wasn't because of anything else. It's not because they're not rich enough. It's not because they're not from the right side of town. They couldn't get there because there were so many other people who also needed Jesus. Sometimes we don't stop to help people because we have such a list of needs and things happening in our own lives, things going on in our own world. That's why I can't get there. That's why I can't seem to solve this or figure this out. Don't assume too much. No one is against you. No one is fighting you. Everyone gets a bit selfish when it comes to their own needs. So the Bible said that they dug a hole in the roof. I'm telling you, you have to get this in your mind, because the stairs leading up to that roof didn't look anything like this. I don't know how those four men did what they did. how they accomplished what they accomplished. But when you really get your mind made up about helping people, I'll find a way. It'll inconvenience me. It'll probably cost me. I'll struggle with this, but I'm going to find a way. Because notice this, four men who needed Jesus for themselves gave themselves for someone else. Four men who needed Jesus for themselves gave themselves for someone else. Very quickly, I'm almost done, but I'm going to give you three benefits of serving others. This will help you. If you want to write this down, if you want to type this into your phone, I promise you it'll help you. The first benefit of serving others is that it will create joy in my life. It will create joy in my life. In a world where everyone is self-centered, where we're living in a selfie society. Lord, I stopped preaching a moment ago to take a picture. It'll be on my Instagram later on. That's where we are as a society. But when you stop, the more I practice unselfishness, the better my relationships get. Romans 14 and 18 said, because anyone who receives Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. Proverbs 11:25, the one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. For those who help others are helped. You're wondering why no one ever comes and helps you. Who's the last person you helped? How come no one's ever there for me? When's the last time you were there for someone? It'll bring joy to your life. It'll bring joy to your life. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. It will improve my relationships. Number three, it will make my life meaningful. It will make my life meaningful. Meaning comes from living for something greater than myself. That's why we have Team Church around here. Since early this morning, there have been volunteers and people who serve and work hard to make Sunday happen. People here blowing up balloons, doing all kinds of things every week. There's something happening, and people would get here. Team Church, I discover my purpose, and then I go and make a difference in other people's lives. You know what? Church is more fun when you make it about someone else getting what they need. And then look at verse 5. The Bible said, seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, my child, your sins are forgiven. Seeing their faith. Whose faith? Joe's, David's, Donnie, Aaron, right? Aaron. When Jesus saw their faith, no. It did not say, Bernice, when he saw the condition of the paralyzed man. Because the paralyzed man is not the only miracle in this story. It's just one of the miracles. When he saw their faith, when he saw that these men were willing to do whatever it took. Their arms feel like jelly right now. They had to find a way to work together and navigate a thing, climb stairs. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, hey, you paralyzed man, I'm not even giving you this miracle because you're paralyzed. I'm giving you this miracle because the people around you want it so desperately for you. I'm doing this because they want it for you so bad. Don't get me wrong. At some point, you have to want this for yourself. At some point, I can't be the only one praying for you. You got to pray for yourself. You got to ask God into your own heart. I can't pray salvation into you. I can be under a burden for you and pray for you. Believe God for your salvation. But at some point, you have to say, Lord, I need you to help me. I need you to forgive me. That is a personal thing. It can only come from your own lips. But when Jesus saw their faith, my child, your sins are forgiven. And then verse 11 continues, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. You came to my house with a need, but I want you to take this to your house. You came here wanting something from me, and I'm going to give you something. But guess what? I want you to take it back to your house, back to the people in your house. You know why? Because the church at Covington, this building, this auditorium, this campus, it should not be the only place that you have peace in your life. He said, let's go from house, big house, to house, your house. Yeah, it does seem kind of counterproductive to come to church and feel so good and go home and feel so bad. It's not God's will. He wants to fill up your house, regardless of who's in it. He wants to bless your house. And verse 12 said, the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked out through the stunned onlookers. He heard what Jesus said. Hey, son, child, your sins are forgiven. Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. And the man jumped up. He couldn't receive it fast enough. He couldn't accept the miracle fast enough. You know why? Because when you're tired of being tired and you're sick of being sick, you don't need to tell me twice. Lord, I believe. Giving me the chance for new life, you're giving me the chance for resurrection in my own heart, I receive it. I accept it. There are people in this room today, you do not need to wait. You don't need to wonder. You don't need to think about it. You need to accept that Jesus has a miracle for your life. You just need to receive it. You need to say yes to it. Then the Bible said they were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, we've never seen anything like this before. You know what they're saying? They're saying, this is like no party I've ever been to before. Guess what? We were all invited. Some way or another, you RSVP'd to this party. Yeah, I'll go to church week. Cool, sure. Here you are. Didn't realize that Jesus was up to something in your life. Didn't realize he was at work in your life. I need the bless me now. can have a miracle today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed across this room. This is a personal moment. This is an individual moment. This is a you and God moment. Whatever song you want, you didn't have to hear. This is a you and God moment. How many would say, you know what, Pastor Darrell? I got to be honest, in this atmosphere, I need Jesus in my life. I've been feeling him working on me, dealing with me. Church had been on my mind. Lord had been on my mind. And that's why I said so quickly, yeah, I want to go to church. Because I need Jesus in my life. If you're here today and you've never given your heart to Jesus, or maybe today, I feel this so strong for people in this room. You need to rededicate your life to Jesus. You need to recommit your heart to the Lord. Maybe things have distracted you, pulled you away, gotten your mind on other stuff. You're just out of the habit. Spiritual habits in your life, but today you feel the Lord speaking to you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up across this room? Just say, yeah, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. See hands, thank you, thank you, thank you. Jesus. You don't have to use my words. You can pray your own words. But if you need some words, you can welcome to borrow mine. But pray something like this. Say, Jesus, I need you in my life. Somehow it's more than need. It's want. I want you in my life. I'm asking you to fill my heart. Fill my mind. Fill my mouth. I need you. I want you to forgive me of my sin. Wash me today. Help me. I accept your grace. I receive salvation today. I say yes to you. And I know that my life is never going to be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, can we give God praise for every single person? I love him. I love him. I love him. Amen. I want our prayer team to come today.